I believe we are joined by Zafar Benkesh. Are you there, Zafar?
Yes. Hello, Phil. I am.
Thank you very much for joining us, Zafar. We have a very seeming... There's two things seem to be going on. The Syrian government, which has been besieged by terrorists who armed and trained by the United States and Turkey and financed by Saudi Arabia and Qatar, they are now arguing about which of them actually pays for these things. But the Syrian government, with its allies, Islamic Republic, Hezbollah, and Russia, really seems to be on the way to liberating its territory. But there, a problem has developed, and this is where we need your expertise. There is an area, Raqqa, I guess it is, where there seems to be a kind of a dirty game going on. There's somebody called the Syrian Democratic Forces who claim to be fighting ISIS. And ISIS is in retreat, but if I understand it, the Syrian Democratic Forces and their American sponsors might have a plan to try to hold on to Raqqa for themselves. Is that, did I get it right? And tell me what you think of that.
Yes, that's exactly how it is. Basically, the Americans have made clear that they would not allow Raqqa to fall into the hands of the Syrian government forces. And they've already allowed, and they're backing this group, the supposed Syrian Democratic Forces, essentially Kurdish militias that have taken over Raqqa. And when the Syrian government forces or its air force tries to carry out operations in and around Raqqa against ISIS forces, mm-hmm. Not even against the Kurdish forces that are occupying Raqqa, although the Kurdish forces do not belong there, mm-hmm. because Raqqa is not Kurdish territory, or at least Kurdish inhabited territory. But the Americans,
very important detail, by the way. That,
yeah, exactly. Then, but the Americans have made clear that they would not allow the Syrian government forces to come anywhere near there. So, as we know, last week, June the 18th, the Americans shot down a Syrian plane that was actually on a bombing mission against ISIS terrorist strongholds. So even though that plane was carrying out operations against ISIS strongholds, the Americans still shot it down. Mm-hmm. And the excuse they gave was that, well, we are here in support of our coalition partners, that is the Syrian Democratic Forces. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to keep in mind that America is operating inside Syria completely illegally. It is against international law. It's mm-hmm. against the United Nations Charter. It is against Syria's sovereignty. It is also against America's own laws in terms of the War Authorization Act that permits the U.S. president to carry out operations in countries that may be a threat to the interests of the United States. Mm-hmm. Syria has never been a threat to the United States, and in any case, the American forces are operating there without the permission of the Syrian government. So just because they call a particular militia group as their allies does not give them the right to then go and bomb the government's forces that are yeah. operating in order to reclaim their own territory.
Yeah. We have this strange, mad talk coming, by the way, from a man, I think his nickname is Mad Dog, now that I think of it. But this thing of saying, it's a deconfliction area. At least that was one of the places where, and there is no such thing, and they are not there by anybody's by permission. They're violating international law, and yet they treat certain areas of Syria like it's downtown Cincinnati.
Yes, exactly. That's the way, unfortunately, that the Americans operate, and they continue to violate these rules. The reason why they do these things is because they think that they can get away with it. Mm-hmm. But I think it is important to keep in mind that the day after the Syrian Air Force plane was shot down, an Su-22, the Russians made clear that they take this issue very seriously. They issued a warning to the Americans that any American or their allied planes are in the area west of the Euphrates River would be legitimate targets. The Russians would not consider them to be friendly assets. Mm-hmm. And secondly, the Russians also cut off information sharing with the Americans, because they said that now the Americans are moving in a very hostile manner against Russia's interests, and more particularly against Russia's ally, the Syrian government, that is an elected government. It has the support of the people of Syria, and it's fighting to reclaim its land from mm-hmm. foreign-backed mercenaries. So mm-hmm. we see a situation that is unfortunately quite serious now. And of course, over the last couple of days, we have had the Israelis get involved in it in a big way on the Golan Heights. Mm-hmm. On two consecutive days, Saturday and Sunday, which is June the 24th and June the 25th, the Israeli warplanes have been bombing Syrian government positions. And the excuse that they advanced was that on Saturday, June the 24th, there were some projectiles fired from Syrian territory onto the Golan Heights, of the area of Golan Heights that the Israelis occupy.
Yes, that is to say Syrian territory.
And that is Syrian territory as well. But the Israelis said that, well, they are the projectiles have been fired into mm-hmm. our territory. And mm-hmm. like, you know, as if the Golan Heights is owned by the Israelis. Mm-hmm. Nobody in the world recognizes Israel's illegal occupation of the Golan Heights that were occupied in 1967. Mm-hmm. Israel, of course, occupies 70% of the Golan Heights. And so the Israelis on Saturday fired missiles against Syrian positions. There were reports that a number of Syrian tanks were destroyed and some Syrian soldiers were killed. And then yesterday again, that is June the 25th, the Israeli Air Force was again in action. And again, they bombed Syrian positions. Mm-hmm. What I want to point out to your listeners is that on Saturday, this is according to the Jerusalem Post, by the way, when the Israelis alleged that projectiles had been fired from Syrian territory into the Golan Heights under Israeli occupation, that the Israeli Air Force went into its aggressive action in less than 1 hour. That means that there was a prior plan to mm-hmm. attack Syrian government positions, mm-hmm. And this allegation of projectiles being fired, etc., was simply a pretext mm-hmm. to be able to carry out those operations and have justification for their illegal acts.
Yeah. We're speaking to Zafar Bengash, crescent-online.net. And Zafar, the behavior of the United States in Israel, it rather resembles what the professional wrestling tag team. The impression I get is that they're trying to save their political assets there, and or to divert, try to engage, cause the Syrians to refocus, change the focus of their war, because they're doing very well in their war, right?
Yes, of course.
My impression is Syrians seem very stoical. They just continue to advance on practically all fronts and just treat this behavior of the United States in Israel as an irritant.
Yes, of course. The Syrian government forces have been making steady progress, in particular since the liberation of Aleppo, that was last December, and they've made steady progress. And obviously these terrorist groups, ISIS, Daesh, whatever one calls them, they have been in retreat, in fact, on both fronts, both in Iraq as well as in Syria. Mm-hmm. And obviously this has caused consternation in Washington, because they feel that their allies, these terrorists, are now being defeated, and their plan to not only overthrow the legitimate government of Syria, but also to partition Syria into several ethnic states is also being undermined. Mm-hmm. So they see their policies of disruption of the Middle East region being undermined, and that's why they are becoming more and more aggressive in their action against Syrian government forces. Mm-hmm. And I think it can't be ruled out that the Israelis would get much more involved directly, because they have, in fact, they have been supporting these terrorist groups for a long time. I'm sure your listeners would recall that about a couple of years ago, Haaretz newspaper had published photographs of the Israeli prime minister visiting injured ISIS fighters that were being treated in Israeli hospitals actually set up on the Golan Heights. And Benjamin Netanyahu had visited them. Yes. Of course, the Israeli government claimed that these were injured Syrian fighters, but the truth is that they were not Syrian fighters. These were ISIS terrorists, mercenaries that have been operating.
They're bigoted. They don't like, you have to belong to their particular sect or you die, or they hate Christians. Very brutal. And yes, Prime Minister Netanyahu seemed very comfortable with them.
And of course, there is sort of, you know, all kinds of realignments taking place in the Middle East. And now we see that the Saudis and the Israelis are already in talks to establish economic relations simply by way of sort of facilitating ultimately to establish diplomatic relations. And I also want to point out that about a week ago, the Saudi foreign minister, when their spat with Qatar, tiny Qatar, emerged, one of the allegations they made against Qatar was, in addition to a whole lot of others, but one of them also was that, well, Qatar supports Hamas, and since Hamas is fighting against Israel, and Israel, which is our ally, therefore we have to cut off our relations with Qatar. And unless Qatar turns off all contacts with Hamas, which is a legitimate resistance group struggling for their rights in Palestine, although unfortunately several Western governments have branded them as a terrorist group, totally contrary to international law and United Nations resolutions. There are resolutions dating back to 1993 in which the United Nations has clearly said that liberation movements cannot be branded as terrorist groups. Mm-hmm. And so Hamas does not fall under that definition at all. Hamas is not a terrorist organization.
They're also the ones who won the election in Gaza.
Yes, exactly. They won free and fair elections in 2006, and they have established a government in Gaza since 2007. And so it is a legitimate government, a legitimate organization. They're struggling for their rights. And you know, for any country, any government to brand them a terrorist organization is a total violation of international norms and principles.
Yes.
And so that was one of the reasons that the Saudis used in order to target Qatar. And in fact, the Saudis exposed their hand. Now they are close allies of the Zionists.
Yes.
And they always had these relations, but they were under the table. Now, of course, these have come out into the open because the Saudis now feel that they have no choice but to openly embrace the Israelis. Otherwise, they would be in deep trouble. So now they have openly come out and they are seeking Israel's support.
That might be their last mistake, actually.
Exactly. Absolutely.
This is Zafar Benkash, crescent-online.net. Zafar, on the matter of the Kurds, there's two questions I want to make sure I ask you. I was, in preparation for today, I was reading, oddly enough, an article in 1998 by James Risen in New York Times, and he spoke of Mr. Barzani and Mr. Talabani, and he spoke of their parties, in which he said, he quoted a U.S. official, "We placed them both on the CIA payroll." This is 1998, when they, by the way, the target was Saddam.
Yes.
And they said, the term they used was the kind we use in the Taylor Report. They said the game is to keep them away, keep them out of the control of Baghdad. And so here we have what would appear to be almost the same game. Are Mr. Barzani and Mr. Talabani and I know that we're talking about families, the Barzani family and Talabani family, are they involved with, is the Syrian Democratic Forces them? Who is it?
Well, they are not directly involved with them, although they would like to link up with them. They are basically involved in Iraqi Kurdistan, the Barzanis and Talibani. And there, of course, they have set up what is called the Kurdistan Provisional Government. And they want to create an independent Kurdish state over there.
Yes, they're calling for a referendum now.
Exactly. That's what they're planning to do over there. And in fact, it is a de facto partition of Iraq already, and it was since...
More trouble.
Exactly. It was since 1991,
yeah,
when the Americans first attacked Iraq, that the Kurds basically set up their own sort of, you know, autonomous region. And this, of course, was then reinforced after the 2003 invasion, when Saddam Hussein's regime was overthrown. So then the Kurds in northern Iraq, which is referred to as the Iraqi Kurdistan.
Yes. Just given the time, I have to, if I could shorten that to this question. Isn't the Canadian government reporting falsely on its role? Because we've had this incident where the Canadian sniper killed someone at 2.5 miles, and so we all have to hear about it. But aren't they really supporting the Kurds? I never hear the Iraqi government saying, oh, we're really glad you're here. The Canadian forces seem to be in the Kurdish region.
Yes, they are. They are, in fact, Canadian forces are.
So we're being falsely reported to.
Absolutely. Canadian forces are training the Kurdish forces in Kurdistan, and this is not with the permission of the legitimate government in Iraq established in Baghdad. So unfortunately, Canada is also in violation of Iraq's sovereignty. Of course, the Canadian sort of, you know, the defense minister has said that we are not involved in Syria, but we are involved in Iraq, and we are doing it with our allies, etc. So
ally there is a Kurdish group that might break away.
Exactly. And in fact, the Kurdish groups everywhere are trying to break away, whether it's in Turkey, in Syria, in Armenia, Iran, Iraq. In fact, that's the unexploded bomb left since the First World War that's going to blow up the whole region if they were to set up their own state.
Well, it is a happy note. I have to close on that. Zafar Bengash, crescent-online.net. Zafar, you're always very informative. We're very, very grateful to talk to you.
My great pleasure. Thank you, Phil.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Taylor Report, CIUT. We want to thank Carol, and we will see you all next week.